Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not so good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. A couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. And introducing your host, he is Cincinnati's favorite son, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, he is the man with the magical voice, RJ. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation. Welcome to episode 154 of the Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magical voice. He is and forever will be Mr. WrestleMania, JD Justin Davis. Justin, what's up, man?
That's right. Not Shawn Michaels. It's me. Not fucking Shawn, Mr. WrestleMania. Who the fuck called him Mr. WrestleMania anyways?
It's probably self-proclaimed, but well, it's either that or if you have adrenaline in your soul. I don't know. Maybe that, maybe they could take that guy. Some guy hasn't really done too much with that recently. So,
well, speaking of WrestleMania, we're recording on Sunday here, the day after night one. And yeah. I can say night one was pretty damn good. I was impressed with it.
Yeah. I was going back and forth with a number of other people that do shows or wrestling fans or whatever. And they're like, yeah, this has probably been the best in the last number of years. I said, dude, this has probably been the best WrestleMania probably in the last 5 or 10 years. Because
yeah, props to Bruce Pritchard, our buddy, and I thought they just did a fantastic job. You know, it's not going to get talked about a lot, but I thought a really solid match in the night was Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch.
I thought they should have flip-flopped the women's matches. Nothing against Charlotte personally, but I know Money Mike is probably hasn't left his bedroom and probably
I just sent him a picture of Charlotte Flair's titty falling out. So he's probably
okay.
He's probably wore the pad off of his hand multiple times at this point.
He's probably got to switch it up a little bit, do the stranger or something. But no, the other sneaky good match was I liked Drew McIntyre and Corbin. I thought that was good.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think there was really a bad card on the, or a bad match on the card last night.
No. And even they had the, they put it to tonight. I don't know if you saw it, was New Day versus Sheamus and his little lackey there. What's his name that broke Biggie's neck?
Yeah.
Anyways, they moved that to tonight because they had to get cut for time. I'm like, oh, no shit. We kind of went all in on their first night. So,
yeah.
But we are continuing WrestleMania month here on the show. This week, we don't have one of the best WrestleManias of all time, allegedly. WrestleMania 9, Justin. So Caesar's Palace in 1993. So we've done some of the stuff in that era of 93 to probably about 95. And we knew at that time that it really wasn't the best time for the company.
No, this is a bad WrestleMania. However, it's not as bad as WrestleMania 11.
Which we're going to be going over in a couple weeks.
That
keep
was
in mind.
Dog so. Shit. But this one here, not real good, especially the ending, of course, if you're me, but there are fun parts of this show. So it's not completely terrible.
So we'll get into that a little bit, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it. They actually had the match we'll run through is they were supposedly supposed to do a match between Bam Bam Bigelow and Kamala, but that was canceled due to time constraints.
Cancel culture.
So, but that was even before the event began.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that in 93, we didn't get any type of Bam Bam match. I would have thought that they'd put him in, in a match somewhere, but.
Well, and I'm kind of pissed because I love Kamala. Like, I would have liked to have seen that match in a way.
Right. Another guy that we love is Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's the opening contest.
All right, Justin. So this is being billed as the world's largest toga party. Who is your favorite person to ever wear a toga?
Bobby Heenan.
Okay. I was lobbing that too. I was hoping you'd take it there, but
Mean Gene's looking pretty strong in his toga here today too at WrestleMania 9.
So more importantly, do you go commando when you wear your toga?
No. Unlike some people, I never go commando. I got to protect the family jewels. They have to be pocketed up in my Tommy Johns, as always.
Well, come on. You want to feel like a Dutch boy roam in the countryside?
No, free? I'm good on that. I want to break free.
And there it is.
I got my Queen shirt on right now. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm supporting WrestleMania. We were talking about this WrestleMania Savage. Is on the card, or not on the card, is on commentary. I'm like, oh, I got to wear something Savage.
I am not a fan here on WrestleMania 9 of Savage's commentary. He's not really strong here.
We'll talk about it. I believe one of our loyal listeners asked us about somebody that should have been on this card, but we'll talk about that guy later on too. But this is the first WrestleMania that's was held entirely outdoors. It wouldn't happen again until 2008, being held outdoors, that is. And like I said, being that it's at Caesar's Palace, it's the world's largest toga party. Were you in favor of having this in Vegas, looking at it now?
Yeah, I actually liked having it outside. I thought it was fun. I thought it was different. No, I enjoyed that whole aspect of it. I thought the way they made basically the parking lot of Caesar's Palace look.
Yeah.
It was really good. I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Cause I think there's some sort of a video out there on YouTube or on the interwebs of them actually setting up kind of one of those time-lapse videos of them setting it up. It's really interesting to see because it'd be, like you said, they turned to their parking lot at Caesar's Palace into this whole set of WrestleMania. So obviously we're recording the Sunday of day two of WrestleMania this year. Everybody's known that WrestleMania sets are like by far the best ever in all of professional wrestling. Is this WrestleMania here one of your favorite ones?
Yeah, probably so. I really like the look of it. Even though it's in Dallas and it has all these stars and it reminds me of that shitty football team that plays there, but sorry Pond Water, but it's pretty cool how they've made the whole setup look down there and everything. I liked it.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of friends of ours that are there at night one and night two, a bunch of members of the Wolf Pack and a bunch of members of AFS, and Pond Water himself is there, Mr. Hall of Fame, I should say. Pond Water, yes. Dave,
get his name right.
So, yeah, he made sure that he sent a cease and desist order that every time we mention him on the show now, he has to be Mr. Hall of Famer, Pondwater Dave. So, congratulations anyways, though, on that that honor, Dave. So, this WrestleMania basically has two main storylines, Justin. For those of you that haven't watched it or don't want to watch it, it was being billed as Yokozuna taking on the then WWF champion, Bret the Hitman Hart. Yokozuna winning the Royal Rumble in 93 here. And then also the whole returning of Hulk Hogan, who departed after WrestleMania 8, and then returned with Brother Brudai.
And we all would have been better off if he didn't fucking return, but that's
Jesus
a whole
Jesus Christ, man.
Like, listen, as a kid, I loved Hulk Hogan.
Everybody did, though. That was the thing. That's what we grew up on.
But about this time, after WrestleMania 8, when him and Sid were the fucking main event that we didn't need, it should have been Flair and Macho Man, obviously. But Hogan must pose, pal, after every fucking WrestleMania, and we'll see it here, too. It just started to wear thin on me.
Well, you know? But you're also starting to see, too, is that a lot of fans are starting to turn. They're getting sick of Hogan. They're getting sick of
this is the
Hogan
time
pose.
You know, over this last year, you know, 92 to 93 was when I started becoming a Hitman fan and not a Hulkamaniac, you know, because I think we were all just tired of it.
Yeah, that's about the same time I was turning towards guys like Hitman, like Sean. Even with Razor Ramon too, we'd see him in his classic, we'll be going over that next week, WrestleMania 10, his classic ladder match with Shawn at WrestleMania 10 in MSG. But
the funny thing is we're talking about our least favorite and most favorite WrestleManias. And in the next 3 weeks, we're going 9, 10, 11, all in order. And one of them's a favorite and two of them are shitty.
Right. Exactly. But it's just, it's one of those things where it's either you really like them or you really hate them. There's no real in between as far as your WrestleMania, favorite WrestleManias. You know what I mean? You can't really go back and say, oh, I really liked 24 because that was Shawn and Flair, or WrestleMania 30 when Brian won the title, when he beat Batista and Triple H in the same night. But I didn't like it as a whole. You can't really say that. You know what I mean? There's not, this one was, we'll get into it now, is there's really, honestly, man, there's only really two good matches on this card. And they started off the fucking pay-per-view.
Yeah. You
know, they're starting off hot. I don't want to say it's a curtain jerker because it's one of the better matches, is the IC Championship match with Shawn Michaels, your champion, taking on Tatanka.
Yeah, Gorilla opens it up for us, and I love him opening up a WrestleMania. I wish he would have been on the commentary. However, JR did a really solid job, I felt like, especially considering he had fucking Randy Savage sitting beside him, which was difficult to steer him in the right lane sometimes.
Sure.
But Gorilla throws it to a debuting JR. We hadn't even seen JR yet. This is his first time on TV, and it's at WrestleMania 9.
And a fucking toga.
Cool. And they throw it to Finkus Maximus, who intros Caesar and Cleopatra, which I don't know that we needed that. But it does look to be a beautiful sunny day in Vegas here as we open up. Then Macho Man comes out getting fed grapes. Macho is in a fantastic, and I mean fantastic, purple, white, and gold suit. With the hat and everything, he's looking only as he can look. And then Heenan comes out in that classic spot that he's coming out backwards on the camel, and Bobby falls down after he gets off the camel and just sells the shit out of it. And Jim tells him he stinks and he smells like camel. Is this, we all know what a camel smells like. That's what Bobby's
not. Of course. There's that scent at Yankee Candle and at Bed Bath & Beyond when you say smell like camel. So,
but, you know, I always loved that spot, Bobby coming out backwards on the camel. That was a good way to start it off. And as you said, now we got the first match, Shawn Michaels, stupid-ass music hits, and Luna is making her debut as well with Shawn.
Yeah. With Shawn.
And Bobby funnily says she's a doll.
But you didn't realize how good that she was until you actually sat down and watched her debut here, because Sherry comes out with Tatanka. So keep in mind that this is that whole era where Shawn's had turned heel and he got rid of Sherry, and Sherry's kind of been in favor of Marty Jannetty when they broke up. Now they're in, basically she's in favor of anybody that faces Shawn Michaels.
Sherry's now a face, which
correct.
I don't like her as a face.
I don't
face.
Either.
You no. know, it just doesn't work that well.
But she made because it work though. That's a thing.
She did made here. It work. Sherry strolls out after Tatanka, kind of like, well, correct. I'm just kind of mosey on down here and see what's going on. Sean is in his classic early 90s, you know, white and black pants here, which I always kind of liked, even though it's weird that a heel wears white. But I think that's old school thinking, like, who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
Sean butchers the hell out of a Hurricanrana because he sucks, as usual.
Wait. Now, how? Let's see you do a Hurricanrana or a Frankensteiner, we'll call it.
I'll do it. Just give me a few drinks and I'll let that baby fucking roll.
And then when your neck is broken and you're in a halo, we still have to do the show, even when you're highly medicated on painkillers.
Listen, I'm more like Brett. I don't have to flip and fly around. I just fucking wrestle like a regular person. Luna attacks Sherry after Tatanka wins by count out. So now we're getting the sympathy on Sherry there. Overall, like you said, good solid starter. Nothing really wrong with it, other than that shitty Hurricanrana by Sean. But other than that, it was okay.
Yeah, but Sherry's really putting Luna over here, man, because Luna is that. I don't want to compare Luna and Sherry, but you're starting to see a lot of the characteristics of Sherry in Luna, but she's doing it in her own way.
Yeah. Luna is very loud over there throughout the match, you know, beating the mat and screaming at the top of her lungs and just being very over the top, which Luna as a person was very over the top. So.
Yeah, right. we'd see her later line next year when we go over it next week. Is we'll see her aligned with Bam Bam Bigelow, which I would think was an absolutely fantastic team.
Stadium, I think it would have been cool if Luna would have shaved her head and tattooed it with Bam Bam. That's what she should have
done.
Well,
she shaved it though. She had tattoos on it. She had the veins.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
She had the vein thing after I'd here too.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say. Yeah, after the match, Mean Gene interviews the new Hall of Famers, the Steiner brothers.
Well deserved.
And we get our second match, which is the Steiners versus the Head Shrinkers. Steiners win with the Frankensteiner. Overall, good physical match. Didn't hate this match either. I thought it was pretty solid.
Yeah, but that's what you're going to get with when you think Steiner brothers and the Head Shrinkers, who are fat too, a.k.a. Rikishi, a.k.a. the Sultan. And his cousin Samu.
They're all cousins.
Yeah. If you say cousin, you're probably right. But when you say those two teams, you know it's going to be a little stiff on the stiff ski side.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're thinking tag teams 93, you think Steiner brothers. That's all you think because you got your tag champions here. We'll see later in the show is Money Incorporated, IRS, mm-hmm. and Ted DiBiase. But this is probably one of the last times, too, we're going to see the Steiner brothers because they're going to end up jumping back over to WCW in mm-hmm. a little while. But did you notice who the referee was during this match?
I did not.
It was Mr. Bill Alfonso himself.
Oh, there we go.
So you have to keep in mind at this time, you even see Harvey Wimbleman, that too. Come out with Giant Gonzalez later on. So
yeah,
a lot of these kind of guys that have been involved with the business in pretty much every facet mm-hmm. since for years and decades. But like you said, all in all, dude, great match, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If a little side note, if the Steiners were warriors under Caesar's rule, how long do you think it would take for the Steiners to overthrow them? Because you know it's gonna happen between Scott and Rick, man. I don't want to fucking mess with them.
Yeah, I think Rick would have got thrown to the lions for barking like a dog. They'd be like, this motherfucker's fucked up, someone get rid of him.
Yeah, So, and speaking of another guy that's fucked up, is Doink the Clown.
Mean Gene is with Doink. This is back in the day, though, too, and they don't do this anymore, but almost before every match, they throw it back to Mean Gene.
It was an interview. Yeah. Because that's when you have somebody like a Mean Gene, you want to take advantage of him. They said the same thing with WCW, too. But he was more of, hey, we'll go on the ramp to Mean Gene on the ramp, and then they'd come out.
Yeah. But yeah, Mean Gene is with Doink, and we
get he's a heel here too, though. Doink, did you really like Doink as a heel?
Yes, I liked it
more so.
Yeah, and when they go back to Mean Gene here, he's standing in front of this statue of Caesar, and Doink put a clown wig on it,
and a wig on it, yeah. and
put that was makeup great. On. And Mean Gene's like, he has desecrated this statue. Right. It was good shit.
So you see. Spoiler, they've been really building this up with the two Doinks. And you know, Steve Kern was the second one.
Well, Doink did tell us in the interview with Mean Gene, he said at the end of this match, Crush is going to be seeing double vision.
So it's kind of foreshadowing. Looking at it now, but they're really selling how he broke his arm and he took his, oh my God, he took his arm out of his socket and beat him with it.
It's
a fake arm there, schmucks. I really like this version of Doink, because we grew up, obviously at this time, we grew up with Doink as the baby face. Did you like Doink at this time? Because I believe, I'm trying to remember it wasn't Ray Apollo. It was Bourne.
Yeah, Matt Bourne.
Bourne was Doink at this time.
No, I like Doink here. I like him as a, like I said, as a heel. I like having the second Doink. I like when he gets with Dink. It's just always very comical, but also like, you know, he was kind of a asshole, and that was the fun of it. You know, this match, actually, this is probably my favorite version of Crush.
Yeah.
Kona Crush. I like Kona Crush. And I feel like for what it is, this is one of Crush's best matches.
Yeah, and you also take into account and who he's working with too, because Bourne was he was on WrestleMania 1.
Yeah.
Keep in mind. Yeah. So he's been doing it for quite some time. Obviously, he had his demons, but when he was in the ring, he worked very well.
Absolutely. And
especially now with the facials of Doink, something that you never saw with the character. You're starting to see now.
We got two very colorful attires here in Doink, and then kind of crushing his orange and yellow and purple. And but Matt Bourne should never go to the top turnbuckle, because that was cringy. He went up to the top turnbuckle and he looked like he was about to fall as soon as he got up there. I'm like, what's he doing up there?
He was trying to do the finisher. It was the whoopee cushion. You kind of just sit on him.
Crusher's mullet here is something to behold. I mean, think 1993 mullets, you go right to Crusher's picture here. I mean, it's just, it's something. Yeah. But the best part, a second Doink shows up, hits Crush with the cast. Doink wins. And then they do that classic mirror spot where they're looking at each other and they're putting their hands up together, mm-hmm. and they do this great mimicking with each other. I love that. That's the best part maybe of the show for me, is when Doink and the other Doink get out and they start and then Bobby keeps saying, it's an illusion.
Yeah, right. Bobby's selling it, though. Then that's what you want from your commentators, is to sell. Even this is maybe like terrible looking back at it. Freaking sell the shit out of it, man.
I'll tell you what's terrible is coming up now. Todd fucking Pettengill interviews two Japanese photographers and asks if there are two Doinks or was an illusion. What a fucking dope. Like, shut the fuck up, Todd, you idiot.
My son can do better freaking interviews than Todd Pettengill. God damn. But there's not really much we can say about that. But coming up next, the bad guy, Razor Ramon, taking on Bob Backlund. One of these is not like the other, man. Yeah. Holy shit.
Just seems like a weird pairing to me. I think it's both their WrestleMania debuts.
Mm-hmm.
Backlund's WrestleMania debut, which is hard to believe, but of course he left in 84 and hasn't been back till now. I wonder what Backlund was doing from 84 to 93, like, because he's still in good shape, but I don't remember him wrestling anywhere else. Like, I don't know if he went to Japan.
He was pretty much, I don't think he went overseas. He was, I think he got into politics at that time.
No, that was later on.
Oh, was it later?
That was after this. That was after this. Oh, okay. I don't know what he was doing for 9 years. I guess just hanging out and stepping up on chairs and stepping back down like he did in the hotel rooms. I'm not sure. But Razor's in his classic black tights here, which is always good. Mm-hmm. Not my favorite Razor collar. Say that's probably the purple, but mm-hmm. I like him in the black too. Bob tries to shake Scott's hand, and of course he gets a toothpick to the face for that. The crowd had no reaction to it though. They eventually broke into a Razor chant, even though Bob is the face here.
That's right. Like,
which tells me, I think Vince watched this and said, you know what? We need to turn Bob heel.
Yeah.
Because the fans are not into face Bob Backlund.
But they don't know what to do with him though. That's a thing. If it was 1984 again, then fuck yeah, he'd be over. But it's 93, excuse me.
Yeah, this
is not even close.
This is 3 or 4 years before the Attitude Era, and they were mm-hmm. already sick of face Bob Backlund, you know.
But you see him do the job here for Razor. So Razor gets his victory here on his first WrestleMania.
Backlund looks translucent here too. It's like you can almost see through his skin.
Yeah, he's that white. Jesus Christ. So the next match for the WWF World Tag Team Championships. We got Money Incorporated, your champions, IRS, Ted DiBiase, taking on the Mega Maniacs, Hulk Hogan, and Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake. So, context to this match, Hogan is coming out. They play up like he got beat up outside of the gym last night when he was working out, and he's got a busted eye. And then you have Brutus basically broke his face.
His face is all fucked up. Hogan's all fucked up.
Well, his face is fucked up before he got in the accident, but his whole parasailing accident. Not going to get into it. You guys can go out and Google it. The parasailing
accident. What was it that Hogan, why was his face fucked up? Was it a jet ski situation?
I'm pretty sure. Let me look. Yeah, it was a jet. He got hit by a jet ski or something.
Like, listen. Why are you parasailing and jet skiing around? And apparently neither one of you can do it very well because you're fucking yourselves up. So how about
Brutus home? Can't even fucking wrestle well. So what the fuck? He's got to try something, Justin.
Of course, before this match, Mean Gene is with Money Inc. in the back. And I will say, I love Teddy DiBiase in the white and gold suit. Like mm-hmm. he had the green one. He had the black one. And he had this one, the white and gold one, which
you never saw that often.
It felt very very WrestleMania-y. Like this is his special suit for WrestleMania.
Right.
Which
you gotta bring out the good one.
Yeah. Hogan has a black eye, as we just said, and Beefcake has a stupid looking mask on his fucking face. Earl Durrell is our referee, of course. Money Inc. tries to leave. Let's see. Oh, I got it right down. Oh.
Trying to get counted out on purpose.
Money Inc. tries to leave and get counted out, but Earl has Howard announced if they get counted out, they will lose their title. So now they have to come back. And Bobby correctly states, who the fuck is Earl to be changing the rules here all of a sudden? You can't do that.
He had bits in his ear.
Yeah. We get an extremely long $1 million dream.
But you had to like the $1 million dream though as a move though, right?
Oh, I do. Yes. Earl gets knocked down, of course. Jimmy Hart turns his coat inside out to reveal referee stripes on the inside and counts to three. Then another ref comes out and disqualifies the Mega Maniacs or the Hulk, whatever they are.
Whatever.
Jimmy Hart throws Danny Davis out of the ring. Like, what the fuck? When did Jimmy Hart become the muscle?
It was just a fucking clusterfuck after this match. It's like, it just went way too goddamn long because you know why? Because Hogan's got to pose.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And of course, even though they lost the fucking match, Hogan must pose. They play the music and Hogan is posing like he just fucking won. You didn't win shit, you motherfucker.
But you're really starting to see the writing on the wall here because the fans really didn't give a shit.
No, and then they get the briefcase and find a brick and some cash and they run around and pass the cash out. And Bobby says, Hogan, give me the money and I'll see to it that they get it back.
Of course, but that's pure Bobby. That's why what made him so good. But yeah, just not a good match. Not a good match.
I just can't stand Hogan in this era. Like,
no, I can't either. Until he turned heel and until he went to the NWO, he was really
he wrestles as a heel. Like at Royal Rumble in 92, he gets put out and then he pulls Sid out because he's a fucking sore loser.
Yeah.
So then they lose the match here today at WrestleMania 9. What's he do? Fucking pose like he fucking won something.
Yeah.
I mean, he's annoying as fuck, and we'll get to the last match and he gets even more annoying for me. Yeah. But that's another thing.
But we see a backstage with Gene again with Mr. Perfect. Dude, this was a good promo for Perfect right until the end, until he gets all flustered and he just leaves.
Yeah. Yeah. He did. He definitely started stumbling over his words there at the end and he just fucking left, which,
yeah.
What else are you going to do? So we got the Narcissist versus Mr. Perfect. I love Perfect in yellow. It's kind of his classic color.
Was it yellow and green or yellow and blue or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's usually yellow and blue. Yeah. Luger comes out with four girls that are wearing thong bikinis, which, you know, I'm for that.
Of course, without question.
Luger gets a lot of offense on Kurt's back throughout the match. The announcers even kind of tell us, like, you know, he's been out of wrestling with a hurt back. So they kind of make that the storyline of this match. The worst part, God, Macho Man on commentary.
Yeah.
He says, Mr. Perfect gets a sleeper on and Macho goes, I didn't know he knew that move. Like, you didn't know that Mr. Perfect fucking knew a sleeper hold. Okay.
Guy that you wrestled how many fucking times and been in the company with? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because a sleeper hold's really hard to figure out how to do. It's very difficult. I think we've all put people, our friends, in sleeper holds when we were kids. I mean,
yeah. Well, it was always a sleeper hold and it was always the sharpshooter.
Yeah. But somehow Macho did not know that Mr. Perfect knew this.
But honestly, this wasn't a bad match. It just, the ending was shit.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like they're a bit slow.
Perfect loses with having his feet on the ropes. I mean, it is what it is. You want Luger to go over, but you want Perfect to save face. So you're going to say, oh, he didn't really lose.
But you also take into account, did you notice this backstage segment that he did with Perfect going backstage and taking out Luger backstage?
Yeah.
In the parking lot. And then of course, Michaels is there and he takes a Perfect out as well.
Seems like they're trying to set up a Shawn Michaels, Mr. Perfect feud.
Yeah, for the IC or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we got to talk about this next match. These next two matches. Well, two and a half. Don't really want to spend too much time on it, but The Undertaker is taking on Giant Gonzalez. This is something that was set up at SummerSlam and Survivor Series in 92 when Giant Gonzalez appeared there as well as, excuse me, he appeared at the Royal Rumble. Pardon me, I misspoke. But Undertaker's facing these giants, literally, guys like a Kamala or Giant Gonzalez in this era. And it's just like, holy fuck, why are you doing this to him? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to have a cold take on this match because usually when people think of Undertaker's worst matches, they point to this one. I'm not going to agree with that. I'll get there in a second. Taker comes out in a chariot with a vulture.
I really like that.
That was cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
The giant makes Taker look so small in this match. I mean, Taker's a big dude, and the giant has a whole head over him.
Well, they're billing him at what, 8 feet? I think.
Yeah, I think he's like 7'8", 7'9".
So when was the last time you saw anything 8 feet long? Wait for it. Okay. Anyways, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But once again, we get a 4-minute headlock in the middle of this match, which that is not good. Undertaker I felt like Undertaker actually did a decent job of making Gonzalez look good in this match.
As difficult as it was.
Giant Gonzalez got a lot of offense in. Undertaker sold for him really well. The Giant gets DQ'd for chloroforming Taker. I'm like, where the fuck did that come from?
Well, because you know, every ring comes with chloroform in a rag. You know that, right, Justin? Every
ring. And of course, Macho Man fucks it up. He can't say chloroform. He's like, I think it's a chloroform. I'm like, it's chloroform, Macho. It's chloroform.
Right.
And he goes, you know, and JR keeps saying, what's that stench? He goes, that's chloroform. Like, everyone knows what chloroform smells like.
Well, of course. Of course.
The only time I've ever seen Taker stretchered out, I think.
But then he comes back out staggering again.
Yes, he comes back out. But I mean, that's the other thing. Like, he's trying to put Giant Gonzalez over him. Like, he's even getting stretchered out.
It's just not working. It didn't work. And it was.
Anytime you're wearing a naked bodysuit with hair on it, you're not going to get over, bro. I hate to break it to you.
So what are the odds that bodysuit is in the house of one Conrad Thompson?
I'd like to see Conrad's big ass in that thing. That would be hilarious.
Coming soon to Top Guy Weekend. Conrad Thompson in Giant Gonzalez bodysuit.
Giant Conrad.
There you go. There's got to. Okay. So JD Hoop, if you're listening to this, you have to make Conrad Thompson into the Giant Gonzalez. You have to with this. You have to.
Next time Conrad and Bruce ever cover anything with Giant Gonzalez in it, that needs to be the artwork.
It has to be. So Dave Silva, if you're listening to this too, because Dave does all the artwork for that, right?
I think so. Yeah.
So that has to happen. That has to happen. But anyways, so all in all, Taker was basically doing what he could with him, tried to get him over, didn't end up working, so on and so forth, whatever. So why the hell are we seeing a Hogan promo next, right before the title match?
So, of course, we got the main event coming up between the greatest of all time, Bret the Hitman Hart, against Yokozuna, and Mean Gene is in the back. Is he talking to Bret? Is he talking to Yoko?
Nope.
Fuck no. Who does he interview? Hulk fucking Hogan before the main event of this match. What the fuck are we doing? This is such bullshit. Like, Mean Gene has interviewed someone before every match that was in the fucking match all day long. Now we've got Bret Yoko. Who do we interview? Fucking Terry Bollea. I mean, this enrages me, as you guys can tell. It absolutely enrages me. I mean, can you imagine tonight or last night, we're going to have the main event and we're going to interview some slapdick that's not even in it before the fucking main event?
It's like interviewing The Rock before the main event last night with Kevin Owens and Steve Austin.
Yeah, like, why?
Because he's there, goddammit.
But goddamn, Hogan must be on everything. He's my... No, he's not, Vince. We're done with it.
But the thing, you know what would have made a lot more sense? You hear me out. Why not have Hacksaw Jim Duggan do it? Because Yoko... Yeah. No, seriously.
Yeah,
no, seriously.
I know. Because Yoko squashed
Squashed Duggan and put him out of commission on, I believe it was... it was like Superstars or something.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking have Hogan Duggan for God's sakes. The promo probably would have been shit, but it would have been a hell of a lot better than fucking Hogan.
And then Hogan putting himself over and be like, all the Hulkamaniacs are with Bret the Hitman Hart. Blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah. All the Hulkamaniacs are waiting for Bret to lose So your fucking selfish ass can go out there and fucking steal the title away in 20 seconds and make Brett look like shit.
So interesting side note, guys. So those of you that don't know, I send Justin a run sheet each and every week with the notes and what we want to talk about. Justin, I don't know if you see it on your end, but on my end, I bold out and colorize, color code everything. And context to it, what are the colors this week? Red and yellow. Just for Justin.
So
are they black and pink? Nope.
Well, let's get into this fucking sham of a match. So I love Brett in the all hot pink.
Oh yeah, I liked it too.
Yeah.
It kind of goes back to those days when he first started.
Mm-hmm. But it's a different color pink. Like the pink in the late 80s and stuff was like a bright kind of pink. This is almost a different, like a hot pink. It has a different.
It's like those fucking shorts that you wore when you were a little kid or something. It was hot at that time, so your fucking parents made you fucking wear this shit.
Yeah, kind of like a neon pink. Almost,
neon. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
But awesome drop kick by Brett to start. It's like a double leg drop kick. He does a weird drop kick. It was like a
shotgun drop kick.
Yeah, but that gets the match started. The crowd was super into the match. Into this match. Yeah. They were the loudest they've been all night. Big pop for Brett's off the top rope bulldog on Yoko.
Yeah.
Huge pop for that. The crowd was, like I said, into it big time. So then, of course, we get the famous salt spot where Fuji took way too long to find the salt.
Even though it was almost right in his fucking hand or his fucking pocket.
It was almost like Fuji forgot that he was supposed to be in the spot.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. I can get salt. Salt.
Honestly, though, I thought before the ending here, this match was really good.
Oh yeah, by far. Brett, they could have not had Hogan in this whole fucking shit, and still the match would have been a hell of a lot better.
I mean, I just feel like Brett made Yoko look so good.
Mm-hmm.
Brett
can make anybody look good, though. That's the thing.
And Yoko just sold really well for the shit that Brett did. You know, just overall, there's not a lot wrong with the match. I mean, Brett was such a good storyteller. They told a good story in this match. They get to the end. He's got the sharpshooter on. If Brett loses the title to Yokozuna here and that's it, I'm perfectly fine with it. I like how the salt spot happens. You know, Brett got cheated. Although I will say, I don't necessarily love just pinning him with salt in his eyes. I felt like Yoko should have done something else to get the three count. You know what I mean? Because all that happens is Brett's putting a sharpshooter on. He gets salt in his eyes and Yoko pins him. And I feel like, well, I don't know if salt in your eyes is necessarily you can't kick out. I feel like once he got salt in his eyes, then Yoko should have done his finisher on it.
Well, how about this, though? How about you do the whole salt spot? And why don't you do a spot where was Earl in this, the ref at this point?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah.
So how about this? Fuck Hogan. Get him out of there. The Hogan thing, obsolete. Delete it. Matt Hardy, delete. Do the whole salt spot. Brett gets the salt in his eye. And then he fucking clocks Earl. Earl DQs him. He keeps his title. You fast forward to it, because this is April here, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So the next pay-per-view would have been SummerSlam.
King of the Ring.
Or King of the Ring. 93. Yeah, I think 93 was the first King of the Ring. So have a fucking, because Hogan would have faced Undertaker, Yokozuna at 93. Mm-hmm. And Yoko won it back. Have that match at fucking King of the Ring between Brett and Yoko, and Yoko winning at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck the Hogan thing. Have some sort of fucking dusty finish. It wasn't dusty finish at that time. Have Brett keep it. Have him go to fucking King of the Ring there. Or fuck, you can even do it to SummerSlam even.
Bruce Pritchard is lying his fucking ass off when he says, oh, we put the title on Hogan because we wanted to sell tickets in Europe for our tour. That is such horse shit.
Oh, yeah.
If that's the case, leave it on Brett, because Brett's more over in Europe than fucking Hulk Hogan. And they already sold tickets before Hogan even got the fucking title. He's lying his balls off on that shit. That's such horse shit. You know what happened? Vince Vince wanted Hulk to stay. He knew he was thinking about leaving, and so he put the fucking title on him here in haste. That's exactly what happened. And we all know it.
I don't know. There's so many different fucking things that you could have done. Why couldn't you do it? You know what I mean?
Well, and Fuji's dumbass loses Yoko the belt here. Like, Yoko just won the title, and Fuji's stupid ass goes, "Hey, Hulk Hogan, you that yellow Betty. Get it here. Fight."
And then Brett's like, "Go ahead. Go ahead. Brett's go ahead." Fuck you, dude. Seriously? I'm like, you and I both grew up on Hogan. And we love Hogan. Don't get me wrong. But 93 on until 96 was a drizzling shit for Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Yes.
It was. And you can't tell me any otherwise. Because his head was so many other places. He's in movies. He's in TV. Whatever. Fuck, yeah. Dude. Just
Thunder in Paradise or whatever the fuck. Terrible show.
22 fucking seconds he can never have back.
And that's the thing. It makes Brett look like such shit that Brett had to fight, and then Hogan comes in and wins in 20 seconds. I mean, what the fuck? And then, I mean, I just can't imagine. You're wanting to build with Brett and Sean and Razor. You know, Vince has already said.
You'd see Diesel come in shortly.
Yeah, Vince has already said, "I'm going younger." Well, then why do you make your champion that you're trying to build your company around look like absolute fucking shit?
And then would have made sense, and they would have given him the fucking Bob Backlund the fucking title eventually too in the next 6 to 12 months. So it's like, what the fuck, dude?
But as we know, up to this point, every goddamn WrestleMania must end with Hogan posing.
Oh, fuck, man. Dude, I'm tired of this shit. Why don't we, you know, somebody else that poses really well.
I think this is the hottest I've ever got on our show.
I think it's both of us. It's as hot as we got. Seriously, I think.
Genuinely pissed.
Jesus.
Just talking about this match again.
And I didn't think we were going to get this hot either. That was the funny part. I'm writing the show. I'm watching the show. And I'm like, fuck, we're going to get fucking, it's going to be mild as shit. Fuck no. We're going to. God, I let the explicits fly.
By the way, before we go on to our next segment, I do want to say, everyone, I told you, did we do last week we did WrestleMania 17, right?
Correct.
And I told you the timestamp to see our dear friend of the show, Efren Bjorkvist. Sure. Well, here's your timestamp for WrestleMania 9. If you want to see the little slapdick Efren holding up a sign, it is at 1 hour, 39 minutes, and 48 seconds. So there's your Efren timestamp of the WrestleMania. Let's talk about happier things.
You talk about Efren. It's always going to be happy, though. I'm glad we didn't go to the next segment without talking about that. Now we're happy. Now we can enjoy these questions from our very loyal listeners. So let's set it up to Rich Palladino to introduce us.
Hey guys, RJ here from the Ringside Rant. Want to tell you about a great sponsor, everyplate.com. Everyplate is America's best value meal kit. While most meal kits come with a premium price tag, Everyplate offers delicious dinners that won't break the bank. Everyplate's quality ingredients come carefully packaged and pre-portioned, helping you save money and reduce food waste. Like that mixed bag of veggies that you have in the freezer that you won't use half of them and you end up throwing out. Let Everyplate plan, shop, and deliver everything you need to cook a delicious meal at a consistently low price. Choose from 17 delicious weekly recipes and then, well, just sit back, relax, and enjoy it later on. They'll deliver pre-portioned ingredients into easy follow recipe cards right to your front door. Like I said, I was very skeptical about this, but when I saw the price tag, man, I went full go and got everyplate.com delivered right to my home and impressed my wife. So if I am impressing my wife, you should impress your wife or your significant other as well. Go over to everyplate.com and get started with Everyplate for just $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering the promo code RingsideRant179. Impress your loved ones, impress your families across the board this time of year by going to everyplate.com and using a promo code RINGSIDERANT179 to pay just $1.79 per meal. Thanks to our friends over at Every Plate.
It's listener questions.
All right, thanks for that, Rich. So, Justin, I was surprised that we did not get any questions from the money man, Money Mike. I know you probably intimidated him too much now between what's going on with Charlotte last night. I'm sure he probably hasn't left his basement, or I mean his bedroom.
No, actually he did. I have such an issue with here. With him last night, I told him I'm revoking his wrestling fan card and his he can no longer claim to be a fan of Charlotte Flair. If you're a super fan like he claims to be,
sure,
you would think you'd be watching WrestleMania last night.
Correct.
If Brett would have been wrestling last night, I would have not shown up to my brother's wedding. I don't care what's going on. Like, I would be watching Brett the Hitman Hart wrestle at WrestleMania. Sure. However, last night, Money Mike goes on a date with his mother to watch fake Shania Twain. Not even the real Shania Twain. This is a fake Shania Twain impersonator that he went to watch instead of staying home to watch Charlotte Flair wrestle at WrestleMania. I don't even know what to say.
I'm going to institute a new rule here for the Ringside Rant. If something like this ever happens again, you're going to go in Ranters Nation jail. So he's in jail for the next week.
Yeah. Lock him up and throw away the key. I mean, what the hell?
And you knew something good with Charlotte was going to happen because he wasn't fucking watching. You knew that was going to happen.
I mean, she retained her title. She looked solid in that blue robe and the,
sure.
And I like the blue tights she was in. She looked good. It was a good match. It was, nothing wrong with it. Money Mike is watching, off-brand Shania
Man, I feel like a woman.
Yeah.
Is that Shania Twain? I have no fucking clue.
Whose bed has Money Mike's boots been under? Not Charlotte Flair's. I can fucking tell you that.
Yeah, that's for goddamn sure. Jesus Christ. Well, I guess we got to find some penance for Michael to do to be allowed to come back into the listener's questions and come out of Ranters Nation jail.
I think he should be banned for a month. He's not allowed to ask questions. He's not allowed to be on the show.
I think a month is drastic, but
it's not for this offense. I think it's actually light.
kind of probably like that alcohol he was drinking because he had to see Shania Twain. Oh, yeah. Fuck.
I mean, what right, the well, hell?
Well, we got to make it better. We're going to go to our questions now because we got to get higher on here. So our first question comes from Top Gal Amy. She asks, how did Justin feel watching Bret Hart needing Hulk Hogan to avenge him after losing his title to Yokozuna, cheating the first time?
She's trying to get me riled up again. I just got calmed down after going over that match, and now she's bringing this shit back up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
dig it.
As a kid, I didn't hate it because, like I said, I was a Hulk Hogan fan. So I was glad that Yoko lost. I did not hate it near as much as I hate it now. Let me just put it that way.
No, I get it. I get what you're saying, yeah.
But I guess that's the easiest way to answer that question. Now, it's one of the greatest travesties that's ever occurred in wrestling.
Oh, without question. We'll get to that. There's another question down here, I believe, from Brad Stanton. We'll get a little bit more granule.
granule.
Granule, that too. I'm a good say words. I can say rural. oh, wait, no, I can't. Never mind. So anyways, our next question comes from Bryant Haremza. He asked, we touched on it. This is the worst WrestleMania of all time, right?
The what?
The worst WrestleMania of all time. We briefly touched on it, but he wants to know.
I don't think so, Brian. By the way, I hope you had fun. I saw your pictures at WrestleMania.
He was at Mania.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, to me, 11 is the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hate WrestleMania 2,
Overall. Yeah, 2 was three. What? That was the three different locations, right?
Yeah, I did not like it. The main event with Hogan and fucking King Kong Bundy was probably...
Put him in a cage!
I mean, other than... To me, Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels was very... Everyone knew who was winning that match. At WrestleMania 14, like we've been building Steve for a year and a half now. This we knew that was going to be his crowning moment going into the match. No one thought Shawn was going to win.
No.
And I think that's how WrestleMania 2 was. Everyone, no one thought King Kong fucking Bundy was going to beat Hogan at WrestleMania 2 and be the champion.
Correct.
So to me, that's why it's terrible, besides everything else. But to me, top to bottom, WrestleMania 11 absolutely sucks. And we will get to that.
2 weeks.
As we said, this was a bad WrestleMania, but there was some decent stuff in it. I thought the Steiners and the Head Shrinkers was a good match. The Doink and Crush thing was fun.
Luger Perfect.
Yeah. And
terrible,
even,
but.
And even Bret and Yoko was a good match until we get, you know, of course, the ending. But. I can't say that this is worse than WrestleMania 11 because WrestleMania 11 to me was just dog
terrible.
Shit.
Yeah, terrible. So his last question is, who is someone from this era that you wish could have had an opportunity on this show? So I preferenced at the beginning of the show with Savage. Dude, he should have been on this card.
Yes.
Because you know, we would have seen him next year. Spoiler alert, we're going to see him at WrestleMania 10 next year.
Well, if we only would have had a 2-day WrestleMania like we have now, everyone on the fucking roster could have been on the card.
Exactly.
but I would say you're right. Savage, I'd like to see him wrestling. And another one that he's a personal favorite of mine, so I'm just going to throw his name in there. Rick the Model Martel.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he lost the IC title close to this.
No, he was never Intercontinental Champion.
Rick Martel. Who am I thinking? No, he was.
No, never was.
Razor beat him.
But yeah, they did have a match, but Rick was never the Intercontinental.
It was a tournament.
Yes, and they fought each other at the end.
Oh, I thought he had it. I apologize. I misread that. Okay. But yeah,
I think it would have been fun if they would have put the IC title on Rick at some point, but they never did.
I might be thinking of Tito. Tito have it? Santana
in the 80s, he was like one of the
he was the original ones. One of the original ones with him, and no, because he had a good series there with Savage. It was like late 80s.
That's who he lost it to was Savage.
Yeah. All right, so our next question comes from a new listener, Maddie Daddy. You can find him at Maddie Daddy FF on the Twitter gimmick. He asked, he wanted
Daddy.
He's Maddie Daddy, meet Justin Daddy.
Yeah.
So
I think Efren should meet Maddie Daddy. I think he might like that.
Wait for it. All right, we're good.
But it is awesome to have new listeners. So exactly. Maddie Daddy, new question asker. So thanks for sending in a question.
So
what's he got?
He wants to ask how that these three WrestleManias would stack up to each other as far as talent and as far as like the direction at that time. So this WrestleMania here, WrestleMania 9, WrestleMania before this, WrestleMania 8, and then the year after here, WrestleMania 10.
Oh, okay. So I loved 8. I think 8 is an underrated WrestleMania. I mean, you got the Flair and Macho Man title match, right?
Sure, yeah.
The only bad thing about eight is you got to have fucking Hogan pose and Hogan and Sid. Now, we talked about it last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. Should the world title be the main event? And I think 99% of the time it should. I think there are rare instances that something could be something else. Like last night with Steve Austin.
Sure.
That should have been the main event. Nothing's beating that.
Correct. Correct.
However, at WrestleMania 8, why in the fuck wouldn't Savage and Flair be the main event? It makes zero sense.
It makes no sense, yeah.
So that's my bitch about 8, but I do like WrestleMania 8. You got Brett and Piper for the IC, which is really solid. WrestleMania 9 here, we've talked about. It has some decent points. However, just top to bottom, the show is not good. WrestleMania 10, I love.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, if I ranked them, I would go 10, 8, 9, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah,
but as far as what, but what did he ask about the talent levels?
As far as comparing the three WrestleManias, begin comparing the talent at that time, at the time of that WrestleMania, as well as the direction of the company at that time. So obviously, clearly 10, I agree with you, or it'd be 10, 8, 9, or 10, 8, 9, because 9, it's like nobody knew what the fuck was going on. 8, you had the decent match there with Savage. And Flair, you also had, keep in mind, you also had Bret and Piper there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So you had those two good, the top tier title matches there, in addition to all the rest on that, because I believe 8 also had Shawn Michaels and Tito Santana at the as the curtain jerker, which was a decent match.
I guess to answer this question, I think 92, which is WrestleMania 8, that was kind of the end of the golden era.
Correct. I agree with that. Yeah.
And 93 is kind of the beginning of the new generation.
And then 94 is there.
And I think that 93 was that transitional year. Maybe that's why it's not as good, because they're trying to figure out. Obviously, they're still putting Hogan on at the end. So they're trying to go into that direction, but they're still hanging on to some bullshit.
Yeah.
So I think that's why. Why 10 is the best, because by now you figured out we're going with the young guys, we're going with Brett and Owen to open up, and they kind of figured it out how to get away from the Hogan era by WrestleMania 10. I think WrestleMania 9 is kind of that transition year.
Yeah, without question. All right, so thanks for that, Matt. And next question comes from Mr. Brad Stanton. So he asked, do you think the ending of the show can be put into the same infamous company as the following things? The Montreal Screwjob, the Finger Poke of Doom, and the Austin Heel Turn.
Yes.
And that ending, but where would you put that above all of those? Or would you let's
rank them. This is interesting. I like this question.
Okay, so I'm going to put Montreal Screwjob 1. Finger Poke of Doom 2, this shit ending 3, and then the Austin heel turn last.
I'm going to go different. I'm going to rank Survivor Series 97 last, because it was a decent match, and also it was like the biggest thing talked about wise it ever happened. So even though it sucked for me as a fan, I felt like it also propelled the Attitude Era, the Vince McMahon heel thing, and so there were good things to come out of the Survivor Series 97 deal. There's nothing good that comes out of this ending here.
No.
So okay, we got this Survivor Series, Austin turning heel, what's the other thing?
Finger Poke of Doom.
Okay. So I'm going to go Finger Poke of Doom 1. That's just awful shit.
Okay.
Awful. I would go this second. I would go Austin's heel turn third and Survivor Series fourth, as far as ranking in order.
Worstness?
what hurt the business the most. To me, the finger poke of doom really hurt the business. It really hurt WCW. I think fans were basically done with WCW after that time. No. I don't want to put all the blame on the finger poke of doom, because obviously there's all kinds of blame to go around with the demise of WCW.
True.
However, I think the finger poke of doom definitely helped contribute. I mean, I remember as a fan, I was kind of done with them after that. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and no, of course, you know, Hogan has to go over as always. And then second would be this, because we're, like I said, we're moving toward the young guys. We don't need Hogan to come in and win the fucking title in 20 seconds. We just don't fucking need it.
Sure.
And then Austin's heel turn was bad, but luckily they didn't stay with it real long. So that's why I would put that third. And then, like I said, the Survivor Series, there were good things that came out of the Survivor Series. So not for Brett, but maybe for a lot of other people in WWE specifically. So I put that last. But yes, to answer the question, this is in that category. There's no doubt.
Oh, no, without question, it's in that category. But so our next question comes from the devilish one himself, Devin Dowling.
Devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what.
He's officially paddled out of his flooded basement, so that's good. His question is, should Hogan and Beefcake won the tag team titles and kept Hogan out of the main event angle?
Well, if that would have kept him out, I say yes, but I don't
would have. No.
Knowing him, he would have won both. He would have been the champion and the tag team.
Oh, yeah, he would have won both. Yeah, he would have had, oh, I got to do both, brother. It doesn't work for me.
But to me, no. The answer is no. Hogan and Beefcake didn't need the tag team titles. That would have been bad. That would have been bad. They're not tag team wrestlers. They're not going to carry those belts very well. If they do win them, it's just going to, they're just going to figure out a way to lose them real quick.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Yeah. It would have been bad. So I say no to that, but thanks for the question, Devin. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. it's fun to actually have you on this week's show. You're not flooded out again, but anyways, so let's welcome in the most famous person on this show, Elijah. Come in here, buddy. Hit the button.
Let's get musical. Let me hear your body talk.
All right, Justin. So we got two more additions to the Wrestling with Music this week. It's going to get us up to 56 entries into our rankings. So I pitched the idea of this to you yesterday, I believe, and you reiterated it. Once we hit 100, we're going to move to something else as far as rankings. Mm-hmm. So we got another however amount until we get to 100, and then we'll go to over something. We'll leave it up to you. We'll give you guys a couple options. We'll put it out to a poll, what you guys want us to rank in our opinions in our final segments here.
Yeah, I think 100 is a good number. We'll have our top 100 wrestling themes of all time ranked.
Sure.
And then we can move on to ranking something else, which will be fun. But this week, I love this era. The music back then, I liked, you know, just kind of hits me in the feels. So I like these two songs we've got today.
Well, without question. Hopefully we can get them inside the top 10 here. I don't know, because I'm sure you'll put up a fight about it. So we'll start with yours, Justin. What's yours, your entry this week?
Mine is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, and his music just fit his character perfectly, pun intended. So let's play it.
Yeah. Okay. So, like you said, it's a perfectly executed theme song, Justin.
Mm-hmm. I love that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always liked his music. I really feel like it fits the character really well. There's not a lot to it, but it's cool.
It fits him.
Yeah.
So, the only gripe I have about it, I absolutely love it. Don't get me wrong. It's a great, because I told you yesterday, I said, if you didn't pick it, if you picked the one I picked, I was going to pick this one. Well, you, mm-hmm. Mr. Perfect. But to me, you have to have a little bit of originality to it. This mm-hmm. was, if you guys look into it, I actually did research, believe it or not, for this, Justin. This was mm-hmm. actually the Exodus theme song. So it wasn't a Jim Johnston theme, which, it's fine. Don't get me wrong. Fucking Macho Man Savage was a goddamn graduation song, for God's sakes.
Right.
So I don't want to rank it too terribly high. I wouldn't. But like I said, I could definitely get with at this point.
I'll tell
point,
you where I feel like putting it. Yeah. In between Sid and Brutus the Barber Beefcake at 21. I love Sid's music.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think this is quite as good as Sid's, but I think it's pretty good. So I think it could slide in at number 21.
Because I also think we can get it to that point too, where you got Goldberg right there at 23, and Goldberg was basically a file, insert file number here for WCW. So that wasn't, you know, that was kind of along the same lines of it wasn't a Jimmy Hart-esque a theme for WCW. So I think that's the right air, right place to put it. All right. So my pick this week, Justin, he's recently passed. So this is in honor of Ziavi, in honor of him. One of my favorite theme songs of all time, The Bad Guy, Razor Ramon. Justin, so like I said, literally one of my favorites of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so good. And you know what I love about it? You have the main beat that bum 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 bum, but also you also have so much going on behind it. Like you have the main beat, but then you got like all these other little instruments playing behind the main beat, which is pretty cool. And then you got the tires squealing thing there. It's so good.
So, and it fits him so well. It's a Jim Johnston original. And I'm not putting it where I want to put it because of his recent passing. It was going to be up there regardless. And it's just one of those theme songs. When you hear it, you know, it's Razor Ramon.
Mm-hmm.
And I may get a little bit heated with this, but I'm going to do it anyways. I would, if you look at my screen, I would put it right there.
Okay.
I would put it at number 9. Because if you look above at 1 through 8, they are a little bit more iconic. They're a little bit of when you hit that first 30 seconds, that first 10 seconds, you know who it is. You know what I mean? And like I said, mm-hmm. I like Dusty. I like Horseman. I like the Hardys. I like LOD. But I just think Razor is just that as a whole, that whole music is a lot better.
If it was me, I think I would probably put it somewhere in this area, maybe 11, but I'm okay with sliding it into the 9 spot. I mean, it's pretty good. It's a very cool theme for a very cool character. Like I said, I like all the little different instruments being played throughout the whole thing. It's very complex in a way, but also very simple in a way. So yeah, I'm fine with it. We got a new entrant into the top 10 for the first time in months.
Right. Since we started this, pretty much. Hopefully we won't piss Miss Amy off too much, but I'm sure she'll oblige to it. But with that being said, let us know what you think about that. Obviously, like I said, we're up to 56 right now, Justin. So
on the road to 100.
Exactly. So we're going to, we're definitely looking forward to hopefully figuring out what we're going to be doing next for you guys, as far as our rankings. But we touched on it before. Next week, Justin, we're going to be going over WrestleMania 10.
Yes.
One of our favorite WrestleManias as a whole.
I think I picked this one as my favorite.
Sure.
It is probably my favorite WrestleMania. There's some other very good ones. But I just love 10 from the start to finish. Of course, it helps that you start and finish with the GOAT. But, you know, we'll talk about that next week. It's going to be fun. I love watching WrestleMania 10. I'm going to have fun taking notes on it. Can't wait. This has been fun. This whole trip through our least favorite and most favorite WrestleManias this month has been fun. I've enjoyed going back and watching them.
Yeah, without question. So go head over, type it in your browser, castify.com/ringsiderant. Get all our links right there to all the platforms we're on, all the networks we're on, merchandise, all these great things, our social medias for Twitter and Instagram. We're at @_ringsiderant on Twitter. He is at JD2040. Guys, appreciate you so much for tuning in this week. Even though we didn't get a question from Money Mike, I'm sure we'll make sure that doesn't happen again.
He feels like a woman right now.
So with that being said, Justin, what do you got to close up the shop?
Nothing. Not a lot. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate you guys sending in the questions. This has been fun. I'm going to go take some blood pressure pills to recuperate over that Hogan.
Yeah, go do some hot yoga or some meditating or something so you can actually go on the rest of your day.
Yep. But thank you guys so much. We will see you next week.